A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on a high mountain to be alone with them. And before their eyes, Jesus was transfigured. His face became as dazzling as the sun, and his clothes as radiant as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said, "Rabbi, how good that we are here. With your permission, I will erect 3 shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Peter was still speaking when suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. Out of the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my own, my beloved, on whom my favor rests. Listen to him." When they heard this, the disciples fell forward on the ground, overcome with fear. Jesus came toward them and touched them, saying, "Get up, do not be afraid." When they looked up, they did not see anyone but Jesus. As they were coming down the mountainside, Jesus commanded them, "Do not tell anyone about this until the chosen one has risen from the dead." The good news according to Matthew.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The gospel began 6 days later. So we want to, before we delve into the gospel, go back those 6 days and look at what was happening in Matthew's gospel beforehand, setting up the transfiguration. You may recall that Jesus has been spending time with the disciples away from the distractions and demands of Galilee. Jesus asks them at that point, "Who do you think that I am?" After Peter responds, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Matthew says that from that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and to be killed, and on the third day to be raised. It is then that Peter, James, and John accompany Jesus up the mountain after hearing the news of Jerusalem and Jesus' imminent death. And it is only human that when the disciples see the transfiguration of Jesus and his speaking with Moses and Elijah, they play out in their minds the next few days and weeks, and they begin to look for alternatives, desperate for a way to stop all this. They want to build a safe sanctuary on the mountain, away from the world, to be content in that moment, saving Jesus and themselves from the heartache to come. But they cannot avoid the cross, nor can we. As we continue to move through Lent, the coming journey with Jesus to his cross and death in Jerusalem weigh upon us. But there is nothing we can do to change the fate of Jesus. We know the story all too well, and we remember it as we endure the stories of loss in our own lives. The suffering friend, the child who is ill, the country that seems to be falling apart, the relationship that seems beyond the point of healing. This world of the cross could break us, bring us down, and we cannot prevent Jesus or ourselves from experiencing pain or heartache. Yet, in the Transfiguration, God prepares us by the encounter to endure the world below. God pronounces Jesus to be the beloved Son and God tells us to listen to him. There is assurance that Jesus is the Holy One who will pass through pain and suffering, the passion and cross, and on the third day, he will be raised. That is the message of the cross and transfiguration. Our world is never beyond the touch of God, God's redemption. We have a glimpse of the touch of God in our lives here and now. We glimpse that moment in a hospital room where two people have just heard the worst news of their lives. We see the patient reach out to their companion, the healthy one, assuring him that all will be well. There is God's touch of redemption in suffering. We glimpse that moment of the touch of God when the evening news reflects nothing but chaos. And then there is the story of one person's graceful act of healing a broken world by caring for another person that the world would rather forget. There is God's touch of redemption and suffering. These are moments when people begin to understand that where there is suffering, there's holy ground. These are the moments when we realize that God is present in suffering and sacrifice, just as God is present in the promise and potential of our lives. The Mountain of Transfiguration shows the disciples and us that while there is nothing we can do to save ourselves from suffering, there is also no way that we can shield ourselves from the light of God. The gospel paints the picture that all at once Jesus glows with the white light of God, shedding hope in the darkest of moments. This moment of transfiguration is where God says to the world and to each of us that there is nothing that we can do to prepare for or stand in the way of sorrow or joy. We cannot build God a monument, and we cannot keep God safe. We also cannot escape the light that God will shed on our path. We cannot escape God, Emmanuel, among us. God will find us in our homes and workplaces. God will find us when our hearts are broken and when we discover joy. God will find us when we run away from God and when we are sitting in the midst of pain. God touches us. And while the disciples are fearful of the awesomeness of the transfiguration of Jesus, he lays his hand on their shoulder and says, "Get up, do not be afraid." This is the way that God comes into the world, not simply the brilliant cloud of mystery, not only a voice thundering from heaven, but also a human hand laid upon a shoulder, and the words, "Do not be afraid." God comes to us in majesty and also in a quiet, gentle way that we may draw near and not be afraid. God's glory is majestic and so far beyond our capacity to receive it that we can take just as much of God's glory as a human hand can hold. Some would say that God is too much to be contained within the walls of a worship place. Of course, they are right. Some would remind us that God is so great that neither the earth below nor the heavens above can hold God in. Certainly, we must agree with them. God is certainly so great that God can never be contained in something as small as a crumb of bread or a sip of wine. We nod our heads, yes, but we must quickly add, furthermore, God is so majestic, so glorious, that God does come to us in a crumb of bread and a sip of wine, just as much of God as a human hand can hold. So let us continue our journey of Lent, these 40 days that will lead us to the cross and empty tomb. As always, we will need courage to walk this way with Jesus. Because of the demands of the way of the cross, we have this vision of the glory of Christ. The transfiguration gives us strength to persevere in our Lenten way. From this mountaintop, we can not only face the fears we have, we can release them to the love of Christ. As St. John has written, perfect love casts out fear. The love of Christ and his presence in the Holy Supper prepares our hearts to follow and to obey. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. This spiritual strength is what helps us to act out of love and not out of fear. As we move toward our Eucharist now, let us remember God is so majestic, so glorious, that God does come to us in a crumb of bread and a sip of wine, just as much of God as a human hand can hold. I invite your reflections.